listening to the CCA Podcast. Isn't this kind of fun? Who never said that following Jesus wouldn't be an adventure, right? So I'm Ryan. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea.
Hi there.
We're the lead pastors here at Calvary, and we are just honored to be with you in your homes. We're not on site anymore. We're online. You've come to us for 93 years, Calvary, 93-year young church here in Seattle. And for the first time in history, we're coming to you online. This is fun. So this morning, a lot of really cool things happening. I'm most excited to be part of a growing community here at Calvary where we're all about one thing. We're all about Jesus. Our mission here is to help as many people as we possibly can, both here in Seattle and around the world, find and follow Jesus. And so everything we do goes by that mission from the Word of God. And so this morning, it's also exciting because the president called today as a national day of prayer. And we just want to start this morning, before we jump into anything else, with taking just a moment to pray with you right where you are. I know we've all got different ways that COVID-19 has impacted us and our families. And I know my family now is watching online, and all of our friends. And it's just a moment with you that we want to just connect. This is an opportunity to pray, to unite together. And so I want to just encourage you this morning with that before we jump in to anything else. We have a couple ways we want to pray this morning. And so if you just agree with us, would you do that right now? Let's just pray. With today being the National Day of Prayer, let's pray for our nation, pray for our city, pray for our friends, pray for our family. Let's do that together. So this morning, Father, we come to you and we pray on behalf of the situation that's going on. We ask in Jesus' name. We pray according to 2 Timothy 1:7, Lord, which says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and a spirit of love and that of a sound mind. And God, I'm praying that over every person tuning in this broadcast, watching right now, that God, you would fill them with your power and your love and a sound mind. God, I pray we'd be driven as a church by faith and not fear. Lord, as A.W. Tozer said, a scared world needs a fearless church. And so I'm praying right now in Jesus' name, the strong name of Jesus, that God, you'd fill us with faith. Lord, inspire faith, encourage health, and unleash hope this morning.
Lord, we pray for those who have been directly impacted by COVID-19. Yeah, Father, where they have lost a loved one, or they are watching someone in the hospital or caring for people in their homes. I pray, Father God, that you would supernaturally heal and that you would come around and be a comfort to people who have been directly affected. Yeah. God, for those who may be even at home quarantining right now because they have it, I pray, God, that you would just comfort them, give them peace of mind, help them to rest and do everything they need to do. And God, that you would provide healing on their behalf. And God, even just the ripple effect of everything that's happened, God, we pray for schools, we pray for hospitals, we pray for our local businesses, we pray for parents who are now homeschooling, we pray for all of these extra ripple effects that could never have been expected. Father, would you just surround each and every situation that's represented, and Lord, that there would be a covering of you all over this, and God, that there would be graces even in the midst of trial, that there would still be these silver lining moments in the midst of uncertainty, and Lord, that you would just show yourself in a unique and powerful way to everyone involved.
And Father, today we're also praying, Lord Jesus, for our missionary families and global partners around the world. Lord, here in Seattle, our local missions that we support, those around the world, 70 plus, Calvary alone is supporting, Lord. We're asking in Jesus' name for all of those people that we support, Jesus, that you would strengthen, that you would protect. Lord Jesus, that your faith would increase and would inspire them, God, through this season, through this time. I know this has impacted us all, and Lord, we're just asking on behalf of our missionaries, Lord Jesus. We're praying your support, your strength. Lord, we're praying, God, for an increase. Lord, we're praying mission Matthew 28 over them, Lord, where you said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And you promised us, Lord, that you would be be with us to the end of the age. So now in Jesus' name, God, not only the missionaries who are watching, but those that are, God, in different time zones and doing ministry, Lord God, and persevering and travailing through these hard times. I'm asking in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would bless them.
And Lord, we pray for the blessed hope, and that's you, Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we can put our hope in you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that this is not something that takes you by surprise. God, COVID-19, coronavirus, it bows its knee at the foot of the cross, Lord. Everything is under your submission. And so, God, we trust you, Lord, that this too shall pass. And, Lord, that we wait upon you, Christ, blessed hope, to bring about resolution, to bring about restoration of the body, the mind, the spirit. And, God, to somehow use this for your glorious purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we're in a sermon series that we've called Get Your Hopes Up. If there's a word that Seattle needs at this moment, that the world needs to hear at this moment, it's get your hopes up. And this morning, we're going to be focusing on the fact that Jesus makes everything better, even the season we're in right now. And so we want to turn your attention to the book of Philippians. We're going to be reading through. We launched this series last week with Philippians chapter 1. Today, this morning, we're going to be going through Philippians chapter 2. Lene is going to be taking that, and then I'm going to be taking Philippians chapter 3. And so in introduction, I just want to read a portion of the third chapter that we're going to be focusing on. And Philippians 3, the 12th verse says this, not that I, and these are the words of Paul, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. But Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He says, brothers and sisters, I do, that's you and me, by the way. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, Paul tells us, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on, he says it again, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, he's talking to us now, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. This morning, the big idea we want to present this morning with the good news of Jesus is this: by putting your hope in Jesus, you can be confident about your future.
Amen.
It reminds me of a story. You know the great American inventor, Thomas Edison, right? Well, this man, I read a story not too long ago, and it inspired me because he created over 100, invented over 100 things before he was 40 years old. Not to mention he had more than 1,000 patents. And countless companies that he started at that. I mean, the man was brilliant is what I'm trying to say. Thomas Edison, what you remember, he created the light bulb, right? Invented the light bulb, right? The incandescent light bulb. And this man, just reading about him inspires me. Here's what really inspires me about Thomas Edison is his principle, his value. And that was a determination to never give up. It was a determination and a hope to move forward. Let me say it this way. That determination was one of the greatest times it was challenged was on December 9th in 1914, when at his campus, his corporate campus, there was a big explosion and a fire happened and it literally leveled everything. I mean, he was there when the explosion happened and you read in the New York Times of how he was just watching it all burn. I mean, he was watching it all just go away, a moment of crisis, and his determination, his hope was tested in the moment of crisis when everything was seemingly falling apart. Here's what he said, I quote, although I'm over 67 years old, I'll start all over again tomorrow. I'm pretty well burned out tonight, he said, but tomorrow I will go right to work. And here's what Thomas Edison said. He said, thank God we can start anew. What a powerful illustration. What a powerful piece of our history not too long ago. And like Edison, when we read the story here in the narrative of Philippians, we see that Paul responds to his setbacks with the same determination and the same hope to keep pushing forward. The lesson here in the text that we're going to see is that Paul wrote in chains from a dark jail cell. His life's work was under attack by rivals. He had years of hard-pressed opposition, and still, he had hope. Similar to Edison's ashes that he rose from and Paul's prison that he writes from, we are in a crucial moment in history. We've all been affected by COVID-19 in some way, and we cannot know the details. Listen now, we cannot know the details of the future, but we can be sure of this one thing, and that's this: Jesus is the hope of Seattle and the world.
Amen. And so, based on Philippians 2nd and 3rd chapter, we have two hopeful promises that God gives to us. And you know what? If you haven't looked on the Facebook page, there's an earlier post just before this video of today's sermon notes. So if you haven't had a chance, you can also view it, and so you can follow along with us. And so one of those promises that the Lord gives us is that God is at work and he is accomplishing his will.
That's right.
He is at work and he's accomplishing his will. As I read through Philippians 2, one verse stood out among all of them, and it was Philippians 2:13, which says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes." See, here's the thing. COVID-19 is in the news, it's in our neighborhoods, it's in my head. And we're all dealing with the pressure in different ways. Some of us are online talking about it, some of us are very worried about it, some of us are stockpiling toilet paper. Whatever it is, I can't help but ask God, why is this happening? What's going on? And it's as if I feel like I'm in the water and I can see a tidal wave coming up behind me and I have nowhere to swim for shelter. I can see it's coming, but I just feel so exposed. And I want God to help me to see from his point of view what is happening and the why of all of this. Earlier this week, Ryan and I had the opportunity to go to Suncadia for a study leave, and it was amazing. We were staying at this amazing home, very beautiful, very peaceful, and while it was such an interesting contrast of this incredible landscape, and yet in my heart, I just felt so tense about everything that's been going on this past week. And as I was looking outside, there was a row of trees, and it was a very breezy day, and they were just swaying like this, and I felt like the Lord say very clearly, the trees will sway back and forth by the wind. The wind will take it wherever it needs to go. But because the trees are firmly rooted, they will not fall over. In the same way, Christ followers, you and me, we will feel the effects of COVID-19. We are being tumbled and moving back and forth. However, because we are firmly anchored, because we are rooted in the things of the Lord, what the enemy tries to use to destroy us only strengthens us. And we may move, but we're not broken. We don't fall over in the face of what happens. If anything, we're strengthened. And so knowing that, my heart can't help but just overflow with thankfulness. In Colossians 2:6-7, it says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you are taught and overflowing with thankfulness." Spiritual fulfillment comes through Jesus. As we dig the roots deeper, we are strengthened in our faith. And that is what gives us the hope. What do we do in the midst of an uncertain future? When the plans shift daily? I mean, I think we all know that. Daily. I can't even make a 2-week plan. I'm making a tomorrow plan and maybe a day after that plan. We need to look at Philippians 2:13, which says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes." Let's take that verse specifically and go word by word. When we understand it word by word in its original meaning, it gives it a much richer understanding of what God is promising us. And so, "For it is God who," let's emphasize the word "who." In the Greek, it's pronounced "I me," which means he is present. Don't you know that God is present with you always? We may feel forgotten. We may feel abandoned at times, but God is still present. He's with us, Emmanuel, and he's not going to leave nor forsake us. According to Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave nor forsake you." That is a promise you can take to the bank. "For it is God who works," emphasis on the word "works." Now, works in the Greek is energeo. And that is where we get words like energize, energy. And the meaning of that is he is at work and putting forth his power. God is present and he is at work on your behalf. Thank God for that. He's putting forth his power and he's using everything as an opportunity to display his hand and his might throughout the world. Yeah. Now, energeo, works, is the same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 12:6 when describing spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. So going back to Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will. Emphasis on the words, in you to will. To will means to purpose. God purposes. God plants the idea, and then we go out and we enact it. We make it happen. He puts the idea, we go forth. For it is God who works in you to will and to act. Now in this part, to act, it's also the same word I said earlier, energeo, which means to be at work. So wait, who's working here? Is God working or am I working? The answer is yes, both. We're both at work. God is working behind the scenes, doing grandiose things that we could never imagine that's for our good. And yet here we are, boots on the ground, his servants in this world, doing whatever we need to do to fulfill his good and perfect purposes. He plants the ideas. He gives the enabling. How can we partner to accomplish God's will? We need to remember that there are different people with different gifts and God uses all of them. In this time, maybe he's using you as a prayer partner. Maybe he's using you to be able to neighbor to the person next to you. Maybe he's using you to be able to pick up groceries for an elderly friend. Maybe he's using you to be that boots on the ground. We all have different giftings, but we all have something to offer in the midst of a very difficult season. You know, it's very typical right now that in the midst of feeling out of control, the very first thing we want to do is point the finger. Well, if X hadn't happened, then we wouldn't be in this situation. And when we point the finger, it takes the responsibility away from us, and it gives us justification to direct our anger towards something else and not take the responsibility. But instead of getting mad at those around us, instead of getting upset at schools or government, why don't we pray for them? Yeah. Why don't we pray for the people that God has gifted in the works of healing, doctors and researchers, that the Lord would help and give them wisdom in how to figure out a vaccine and how to mass distribute this. Let's pray for our school administrators who are scrambling right now to figure out lesson plans for kids, online teaching, and even how to supply meals for kids who don't receive them regularly at home. Let's pray for local commerce. There's been such a drop in business because of lack of foot traffic, and they're hurting. It breaks my heart when I see business after business here in Seattle closing down after years because of just what's happened in 90 days. Let's pray for, I'm about to put myself out there, but newly homeschooling parents, where this is a very new thing for us. Instead of getting mad at the
situation. You didn't know you're a teacher too?
Apparently I am. So apparently after service, I get to lesson plan.
We.
Yeah, it's going to be stellar. But I mean, let's pray for not just the people who are sick, yes, but there's such a huge ripple effect that's happening, and there's parts that we can be a remedy to. Yeah. So how can we accomplish God's will and partner with him in those ways? Now, let's not try to be the type of people who try to control a situation through our own strength. I am very guilty of praying manageable prayers, and then when I'm done, going out and answering my own prayers. We need to be at work accomplishing his will. But when I'm in control of the situation and the plans shift daily, I've already hit my ceiling. But when I give total control to the Lord and pray the bigger than life prayers and believe in him for the work that I can't do, miracles happen. Healings take place. Reconciliation happens. Structures happen. Finances come into play. God is good. And you know what? In the midst of uncertain times, we can trust in him. Yeah. Be encouraged to put your hope in Jesus. Realize that he is actively and presently at work on your behalf. and that you have an opportunity to partner with him to accomplish his goodwill.
Family, Calvary, church, Big C Church, get your hopes up. Yeah. This is a moment where you and I have an opportunity to get our hopes up. Jesus makes everything better, and God is at work in accomplishing his will. Another point that we extrapolate from the text this morning is that you can confidently press on. Regardless of what's happening around you, you can confidently press on. Think of Thomas Edison, the story I shared. Think of the Apostle Paul in prison. I mean, talk about a seemingly hopeless situation in both accounts, and then consider what you're in, what I'm in. This has impacted us all. But in the ashes of despair, Edison confidently pressed on. In the prison of uncertainty, Paul confidently pressed on. In the wake of COVID-19, the pandemic around the world, you and I, come on family, you and I can confidently press on. Get your hopes up this morning. Jesus makes everything better. I know I'm not just declaring that to a staff here in an empty sanctuary. I know I'm declaring that this morning in your living room, on your couch, in your office, in your car, on your phone, on your iPad, with you. We are together. Even though we're not physically together, be encouraged. Paul said it this way. He said, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead, I press on." Say that with me. Say, "I press on." Come on, one more time, right where you're at.
I press on.
Toward what? Toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. This is key. In Christ Jesus. Look at that text. "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind." Do you know hope is forward facing? Let me say it this way. I remember my dad was teaching me how to drive. Your dad, was it your dad who taught you how to drive?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember my dad teaching me how to drive. It was amazing. And I remember one time it was the lesson on how much do you look at the rearview mirror and how much do you, how do you gauge when to look where and that whole deal as you're learning to drive. And I remember, I guess I had been staring a little too long at the rearview mirror because all of a sudden I had thought we crashed. He slams the dashboard and he screams, "Rah!" And I mean, I was, "Whoa, what's going on here?" I had been staring in the rearview mirror and he was trying to make a point. The Father was teaching me a lesson, and that lesson was keep your eyes straight ahead. I actually read that verse this morning in my devotions, my coffee time with Jesus, praying over you this morning at 5 a.m. Proverbs 4:25, I read this. The scripture says, "Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions." Keep your eyes straight ahead. Here's the lesson that Dad was teaching me. Keeping your eyes on what's behind you will wreck you from moving forward. Do you know there's a lot of sideshow distractions going on right now in the news? Anxiety, fear, worry. I mean, we've all been inundated with information and reading emails and text and newscast and all. There's a lot of sideshow distractions. But this morning, the Father, bang, he's teaching us a lesson. He's saying, keep your eyes straight ahead. Hope is a confidence and an expectation of good to come. We never hope backward. I can't look here in the mirror and look behind. We never hope backward. We always hope forward. So he says, "One thing I do, forgetting what's behind me." You want to say something?
No, I was just saying amen.
Amen. Forgetting. What does that mean? Forget. Can I really forget what's going on? I mean, there's a lot. Have you ever just been able to forget a crisis that's happened in your life? Here's the language of what Paul is really saying. It's over and done with. You no longer care enough to keep looking back. Did you know right now is now history? It's behind me. Like in 10 minutes from now, that's going to be behind. I mean, it's a constant. He's trying to get us to think, don't stay stuck in what it is. Look forward, because really, right now is going to be past in just but a few minutes. It's over and done with. I no longer care enough to keep looking back. It's the idea of keep your eyes on what's in front of you. Keep your eyes straight ahead. So he forgets. I no longer care what just happened. I'm moving forward. And he says, "I press on." Now, look at this with me. I press on. The original language here means to eagerly pursue, to earnestly follow, to suffer on account of somebody, someone, to pursue, to follow after. Isn't that our mission? To follow. Didn't Jesus say, follow me? So when we press on, there is some suffering that's going to happen. Come on. There's some suffering. There's some times of suffering. So he says, I press on. I pursue on. I follow Jesus on. I suffer on toward the goal. Here's my encouragement to you. Make pressing on, following Jesus on, suffering on through it. You're going to get through it. We're going to get through this. Make pressing on toward knowing Jesus your goal. Listen, I'll say it this way. In a day of closed churches, in a day of social distancing, in a day of isolated aloneness or being quarantined like many have, how do you press on? How do you press on? I want to encourage you this morning. Get your hopes up. Do like Edison did. Do like Paul did. Jesus makes everything better. I want to encourage you this morning. Come on, rise from the ashes of fear and worry. Forget about sitting any longer in disappointment. I know distress and despair don't have the last words. Leave behind. Don't care anymore about all the hostile opinions and ruminate in regret. The destructive memories of your bad break and things that have happened, they're over. Come on, we're moving forward together. It's hard, I know. I've been betrayed and hurt too. I think of times in my life when I've experienced some of the greatest pain, some of the greatest suffering. I've been unemployed and lived with anxiety. You remember? 8 months. Yeah. Have you ever lived 8 months without a job? Like you, I've been sick in my body. Like you, I've experienced aches and pains. I've also been hospitalized in a near-death coma. What's your story? I'm just sharing a little bit of mine this morning. I've lost loved ones just like you. But Paul reminds us, the one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead. I'm keeping my eyes straight ahead. I'm looking to Jesus. I press on this morning. In another text, Paul says it this way. He says, against all hope, in the middle of crisis, in the middle of uncertainty, against all hope. That means there seemingly was no hope, but against all hope. And he points to Abraham, our father. He says, Abraham in hope believed. Say that with me. Against all hope, say it with me. Abraham in hope believed. Get your hopes up this morning. What did Abraham believe? Abraham believed that he was the God who could give life to the dead places. He was the God who could call things that were not as though they were. I love what Henry Ford said. He says it this way. He says, when everything seems to be going against you. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe you feel like that right now. Have you? When everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. Now, first of all, that's a great point, but I just want to encourage you, don't get on an airplane right now, by the way. You don't want to get in that cesspool of whatever's going on there. But I will just say this. Whatever you're against, whatever's against you, think of it. Keep your eyes. Press on. Suffer on. Follow on. Pursue on. Because you're not going to move forward without a little bit of pushback. That's actually working in your favor.
That's really good.
We can actually come out of this stronger and take flight into the next level. Move to higher heights with the Lord and where he's taking the church. This is a moment where the church rises. Through opposition, through pushback, this is our moment together. Whatever you need this morning, I want to encourage you. When everything seems to be going against you, remember, you're going to take off against the wind, not with it. You know, I can't help but think of, and it was mentioned earlier, all of our missionaries. This is the story of our missionaries, taking off against the wind. Going around the world and preaching the gospel and sharing, helping people find and follow Jesus day in and day out. And you're going to be able to find it online on our website this week, but you can go there and it's ccassembly.com, and you'll be able to click around there and you'll be able to find our missions brochure, which lists the 70 plus missionaries that we currently support. The reason I'm telling you about this morning is because, as it was mentioned earlier, we're in a missions emphasis month. And this is a big deal because in the middle of everything that's going on, we're taking on 20 new missionaries in the year 2020. Why? So we can unleash hope to even more people. How can you help? I'm so glad you asked. Here's how we can work together. First of all, let me say this. In 2019, we as a church, how much was it? Did we give the missions?
$266,548.19.
$266,548.19. And because I'm a numbers guy, you got to know I love that 19 cents at the end for year 2019. Come on, that was just kind of cool. I mean, that's just, but here's what we're doing. More. We want to move forward. I want to give you a number. This is a number where you can text to give. I know that's how we're doing everything now that we've moved from on-site to online. Again, the number is, write it down, 206-557-6322. One more time, 206-557-6322. You text the word give from your phone and you can decide how you want your monies to be distributed. I would encourage you, Lene and I do this every month. We give to missions. Would you consider upping your missions giving? Would you consider, if you've never given through Calvary before, to jump in and join the party? It is so much fun unleashing compassion and hope around our city. And these are stories, the missionary stories of how lives have been changed and turned around and people have helped unleash hope across the world are incredibly remarkable. You can be a part of that. You can be a part of helping us continue to unleash even more hope to even more people around the world. And what is the message that the missionaries are declaring? What is the message we're declaring this morning? What is it? Get your hopes up. Yeah. Get your hopes up because Jesus makes everything better. Whatever you need this morning. I hope you can feel my heart. Feel our hearts this morning on this National Day of Prayer. Whatever you need, hope is greater. Whatever you're going through, hope is bigger. Whatever your weakness, hope is stronger. Get your hopes up. We're declaring this morning, get your hopes up. Jesus makes everything better. Not only in churches, but in our homes, right? Right where you're at this morning. Not only in our churches or congregations, but in our office buildings, in our political affairs. Come on, we got to pray for our leaders during these times. In our factories, like Thomas Edison, who experienced great ash and great tragedy. In our he even works amongst the ashes. In the universities that aren't teaching right now, in the hospitals that are, some of which 107% capacity. Come on, there's crisis happening all around us, and it's in even those places, in the prisons, like where Paul was at and when he wrote the book of Philippians from a prison cell. In the prisons, God's working there. Hope is alive there. Even behind the scenes in the darkest parts of our city streets, hope is there. So I want to say it this way. Be strong and take heart. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Would you say that scripture with me? Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Did you know who wrote that? I close with this. This is so cool. The man who wrote that was King David, the psalmist David. He said, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. You've got to understand, this is the same man, if you don't know his story, this is the same man who prayed for his nation. And in the 24th chapter of 2 Samuel, David is praying for his nation who is under a plague. The nation, over 70,000 people had died. We're not there yet, praise the Lord. And you know what I'm praying? I'm praying we don't get there. But in the narrative of the 24th chapter of 2 Samuel, 70,000 people. And let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says this, the Lord answered prayer. If you and I will just push the pause button on our anxiety, on our worry and our fear, and if we would just pray, the Bible says the Lord answered prayer in 2 Samuel 24:25, in behalf of the land, and the plague pandemic was stopped. Get your hopes up this morning. Jesus makes everything better. In the midst of COVID-19 and these unsure times in Seattle and around the world, the church can rise from the ashes of despair with the hope of Christ Jesus. Now more than ever, babe. Now more than ever, church. Come on, family. In the living room right there with me. Now more than ever, in the wake of our society's fear epidemic, people need to hear the good news and the message of hope that Jesus loves Seattle, so we love Seattle. That Jesus loves the world, so we love the world. This morning is a morning all about getting your hopes up. The fact that Jesus makes everything better. So this morning, by putting your hope in Jesus, you can be confident about your future. I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you this morning. And I want to say it this way. If you've never made a decision, if you've just logged in, maybe you're one of the apartment dwellers or the neighbors around this area in the Roosevelt area, the Seattle area, the greater Seattle area, and you're logging in this morning and you've never really prayed a prayer to say, God, I want you to come into my heart and I want to live my life for you. Could you help me? Could you come help me? If you've never prayed a prayer like that before, I want to pray with you. If you're at a moment where you're leaning in just a little bit more to what's being said and this has sparked something in you, know what that is? That's God's invitation. That feeling of, I want more. There's hope here. I sense joy. There's peace. That's the Holy Spirit working right now. And I just want to encourage you. We're going to say a prayer together. That's God's invitation. And so this morning, what I usually do in the sanctuary, as I just say, at the count of three, raise your hand with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. I usually just say, raise your hands. And the only reason I say at the count of three, raise your hand, those who want to accept Jesus in your life, is so I know who I'm praying with. And so right where you're at, I'm just going to ask you at the count of three, just raise your hand right where you're at. It's just you and God. And I want to say a special prayer of blessing over you. One, two, three. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart, you want to follow him. You say, man, I'm all in. One, two, three. Raise your hand. I want to say a prayer with you. Okay? If you raise your hand, pray with me. Lord, I pray this morning over every hand that was raised across the airwaves. And I'm asking this morning, Jesus, that you would bring peace. You would bring joy. You would unleash hope. Pray this prayer with me if you raised your hand. Lord, would you come into my heart? Please forgive me of my sins. I want to know more about you. I want you in my life. Would you come into my heart and help me to live wholeheartedly for you, God? I want to know next steps in my life. I want to put my hope in you, my confidence in you, and know that my future is secure with you. Lord Jesus, I love you this morning. Thank you for the hope you've given me. Amen. And now for the rest of the watchers this morning, those who have been engaging this way, we want to say a special prayer of blessing over all of you. And by putting your hope in Jesus, you can be confident of your future. So allow us to pray this prayer. We're going to extend our hands toward the camera, and we're just going to pray this prayer over you this morning. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And may the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you receive that this morning, would you say yes and amen? Come on, I can't hear you. Say yes and amen.
Yes and amen.
Amen.
If you prayed the prayer of having Jesus come into your heart for the first time, congratulations, because you have made the best decision. And this is a little different because we're not all together in one room, but there's still ways that we can connect with you so that we can walk this out, even if it's at a distance, these next steps in your faith journey. What I would encourage you to do is email info@ccassembly.org. And just let us know, I raised my hand for the first time, I want to know Jesus as my personal savior. Send us your address because we'd love to mail you a Bible, a gift card, and all the next step tools that you need to do this faith journey. And also, if you have prayer requests that you want us to pray for, email that same address and just title it prayer request. And you, if you want it to be confidential, please let us know that.
Yeah, just that real quick, that's a big deal because on Wednesday we're going to be broadcasting live the prayer meeting at 6 p.m. And so whatever your prayer requests are, if you have specific needs, if you need food, if you need, I mean, whatever's going on, please email in, like Pastor Linnea said, because we really want to be here to help you in this season.
All of these details that we just shared with you, we'll make a comment under this video so that you can see it for yourself and have all the addresses that you need. In addition, after service, we always typically are standing in the hallway ready to greet you. And we're not going to have that opportunity to do it physically in this time. But you know what? One, we're going to have a comment with a link to Zoom, a Zoom link that you can click on and just say hi to us. So depending on the traffic and how many people who want to log in, you just sign in through Facebook, click on the link, you'll sign in through Facebook, and then you'll just be put in line in a waiting, in a virtual waiting room, which will come and say hi. We'll keep our interactions very brief to get through everybody, but we still want to interact with you. And even after service, I would encourage you just to keep the spirit of what you've done in the past going. Text, call your friends who you normally talk to after service. This is an opportunity to still maintain the community, and you can do that through these ways. FaceTime your friends and just let them know, hey, just like we would be in the hallway, yeah, I'm saying hi, I'm connecting with you, I'm checking in. Don't let that die at this point.
And if there's somebody who needs help logging in, or somebody, a neighbor or a friend who doesn't know how, I wanna jump online, but I don't know how, what's this all electronic stuff? Welcome to a new era of church. Would you, if you know how, would you just, maybe that's the way you can unleash hope this week and reach out and help somebody, maybe an elderly person or somebody that doesn't know, well, doesn't, they don't have to be elderly because there's a lot I don't even know what's going on with all this online stuff. She's helping me, but nonetheless, help somebody log in because we want to invite people, even though we can't physically be here, we want to invite people to online experience Jesus that way. Yeah.